The Ira Kaufman Podcast, as always, is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. General Manager Brian Danahy at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. He knows you've been thinking about moving up to Cadillac luxury, and if so, now's the time during the Tournament of Savings at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Right now, get move-up sales event savings on a 2019 XT5 crossover. Drive for only $339 a month at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorsecadillactampa.com. That's edmorsecadillactampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. The offer expires at the end of this month. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, they are right there on Causeway Boulevard. Total savings up to $11,000 on all remaining 2018 Cadillac models. They are all on clearance at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Their website, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. They have their own tournament of savings as well, so get over there. We are pleased to bring you the podcast today, and all of Ira's work is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Let's get to the star of the show. Here's the sage. The Ira Kaufman Podcast is back, but we are down a man, and I will explain. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here, and we're going to call him the Junior Sage. Is filling in, not quite Sage level yet, Rock. But you know what? You're here. It's Rock Riley filling in for Ira Kaufman. Ira, the guy hung us today. Things came up in his life. He didn't record on Monday and not Thursday, and here we are. But we are at podcast number two. If you missed the earlier podcast, of course, it's there for you on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, and right at JoeBucksFan.com. But sitting in is Rock Riley, host 820 AM, WWBA, fantastic morning show that's now new, Rock. So, Rock, before we get rolling here, tell us about your new show and why we need to listen. And Martin Gramatica comes on after you with a new show. I haven't listened yet. What's that all about?
Oh, my God. Martin, I told our owner, Neil, I said, Neil, wait till football season starts. And he goes, Rock, it's always football season. So I'm on 6 to 9 a.m., 8:20 a.m. It's 50,000 watts in Tampa Bay. There's an app. Just Google it. It's very easy to pick up anywhere. And then Martin Gramatica is on 9 to 11. So from 6 a.m. until 11, it's hot and heavy on Bucks and all local sports. And it's basically a conversation, Steve.
What's the website where they can get the app?
There's an app for an Android. There's an app for an iPhone, depending on what you have. Just go to the Facebook page. That's the best way. WWBA, the Facebook page, and the information is there.
Awesome. And I've listened, of course. It's the typical Rock Riley show. Lee, of course, has been on Rock Show a few times, at least just the other day this week. Fun stuff, Rock. Everybody can tune in. We're big supporters of you. We love Rock Riley. We hate everybody else, and that's just how we roll. I'm kidding, but we don't like everybody, but that makes it boring if you like everybody. All right, Rock, Ira's not here. You know how the podcast goes. I know you're a listener, so you're going to be our fill-in sage.
Basically, he's DeSean Jackson. He is not showing up, Ira, and he didn't give any reason, so he's the new DeSean Jackson. That's it. Sorry, man.
I like that.
Sorry, you're not here, Sage.
Well, at least he's not trying to Pearl Harbor Steve.
No, I just hope he doesn't go to another podcast. There is no other podcast when it comes to Buccaneer news, so anyway.
Rock, you listen to the 52 minutes of Bruce Arians at the NFL owners meetings. A lot of fans have watched it, or they've read all kinds of nuggets from us at Joe Bucks Fan. You know what? I don't know if a lot of fans really watch that all the way through. You got to be really, really hardcore to even do that. But you know what? What were your couple of biggest takeaways? We know about Gerald McCoy, but some of your big takeaways from that.
I think the biggest thing to me was all the homework that Bruce Arians and his coaching staff have done. They have watched every single practice. Now, you wouldn't think of that, but the way he was rattling off players that he had no idea about last year, what, they did one game when he was on the broadcast?
Preseason, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that really blew me away. And also the fact that he's really honest. He said shit a couple of times. He doesn't care. He's going to do it his way. And that's the thing that I took, that they've done so much homework. That it said when I was listening to him, Steve, I was actually picking up some things that he said, and I covered the team last year. So that's what I like because, you know, you go through free agency and it's all these big names and teams are overpaying and really the Buccaneers haven't had any kind of splash. And, you know, you're almost like, wow, man, you know, are they doing anything? But after listening to him, he's got such a plan that I feel a lot better.
I like that, Lee. Did you get that vibe as far as anything new? Now, you've already met Arians at the Combine. You've listened to him just like Rock has, but you've been around him. Listening to that, did you walk away with, hey, he's a bit more prepared than I thought or detail-oriented? What do you think?
He's done his homework. Rock's right. You could tell because in that video, you know, he basically broke down every player on the roster. It was on, you know, and I like some of the stuff he said. Is it fair to say Lavonte David has best years with Shannon?
I would say yes.
I agree. Well, it sounds like Back to the Future, you know. Right away, he was asked, you know, what players are you looking forward to, you know, getting on the field and doing things with? Well, first he said wide receivers. He gushed about them,
right,
which he's done before. Right. But then he goes, Lavonte David, with his speed, I want to see him rush the passer. Thank you. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, where is that? Yeah. There's a band out there, the Smiths, that were pretty popular.
Yeah.
They should never play in Tampa because you got Lovey and Mike Smith. That has scarred Bucks fandom for decades. Decades. By the way, Steve had a great line. Since we mentioned Shannon, gave up on the Belichick's,
yep.
You think Belichick's going after Mike Smith?
I know. I saw that posted on Joe Bucks Fan. I actually laughed. Here's another thing that I really liked. He always starts with the offense, the weapons, and he really likes having the two tight ends. They're going to be all over the field. So anybody that thinks that possibly, you know, they might deal a Cameron Brate, that ain't happening.
Ain't happening for a couple of reasons. One, they shouldn't trade him because, and I know about his salary, they shouldn't trade him because O.J. Howard hasn't proven he can finish the season.
No, that's right.
Both seasons he's finished on the injured reserve list in December. Well, if they make any kind of playoff run, you don't have Brate or Howard, that's going to hurt the team, number one. Number two, you know, people want to get rid of, well, first off, Brate's coming off surgery.
I know
he is. So you're going to be selling low if you get rid of him.
Right.
You're going to be selling, people like, oh, you can get a third round. No, not coming off a hip surgery. Ain't happening. But the thing about Brate is, Bucks fans in general, they think Arians is not a tight end guy. So, oh, we'll just get rid of Brate. He's got a big salary. Well, I seem to remember Heath Miller did pretty damn well with Arians as Arians' offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh. And I think it's fair to say he's never had a tight end like O.J. Howard.
Right. No, there's no doubt about that.
It didn't come up in the last podcast. I'm glad you brought it up, Lee. And actually, it was you, Rock. So I'm glad you're the sage. You're the fill-in sage. Wisdom flowing everywhere.
Ain't no sage.
And he doesn't want an inside linebacker at number five either.
And you're not as old as the sage. We got to make that very clear. All right? We can't pretend that Rock's going back to the 70s here like Ira or dancing in the 50s or nothing like that.
No, I can't do that.
No, no way. So here's the thing, Rock.
Yeah.
I asked Arians about O.J. Howard. This was not – I'm losing track, but I don't think this was on the broadcast. It was separate from the broadcast of the breakfast. We talked to him before.
No, I don't remember that. So I watched the whole interview.
I asked him,
I don't remember
it was before.
That. Okay.
So I asked him, I said, Bruce, O.J. Howard, is it fair to say you don't even really know what you got with this guy yet? Is that fair? He's like, oh, that's right on point. I'm going to try him outside, and we'll see if he can play outside, and then we'll move him in. And we'll get a sense of how he can do. And then he said, and Brate too. We're going to get him. I don't know what he can do. He was an inside guy. And he said, hey, he's probably a better inside guy overall, but I still don't even know. So I got to see what these guys can do. And he referred to those second practices because he runs two practices at a time. And he said, I can put them both on the outside, watch a whole practice worth of tape for both of them, and then we go from there tomorrow. So he's going to be exploring O.J. Howard way outside.
Right.
And you know what? Wouldn't that be something if O.J. Howard can play outside at 6'5"?
He might be able. No, he might be able to. He's that athletic.
And be another monster like
young.
That. It could get very exciting in a hurry. But you know what? With the Brate thing, Lee's on point.
Yeah.
But you know what? After you lose DeSean Jackson, who at least was productive, you can't say he did nothing, and Humphreys, it's awfully hard to drop three weapons.
Right, no, that's not going to happen.
That's tough in one off season. Maybe next year.
Right. I did like that, you know, and he reminded us he's going to have the two practices going. They're going to be teaching. There is still, even though these guys are in the NFL, you still need to teach. Look, for example, Empoleon has talked about this, and a lot of NFL guys, offensive linemen, they come from these offenses in college, they're not really prepared. They were hoping for a developmental league in the Alliance of American Football. That ain't going to happen.
At least not now, yeah.
And you asked, was it you that asked him about the music? Was that you, Steve?
Yes, of course.
That was awesome. And he said, no, we got to teach. Yeah. So, I mean, there was a lot of things that came out of that that I felt a lot better listening to him. I'm like, this guy's done his homework. This guy's got a track record. He's confident. He's going to do it his way. All those coaches know his system. So I'm telling you what, man, when he had that first press conference, I was geeked up, had a lot of juice. And then just because we don't hear anything, oh, is Sage okay? I thought Sage fell down. But
now you told him they won't draft a linebacker, and he freaked out.
Yeah. No. So all in all, just very, very, very impressed. And if you haven't seen it, I'm sure it's still up there on Buccaneers.com.
Yeah, it's on YouTube, and yeah. Eventually we'll probably run the whole thing for fun, maybe
nice.
Next week.
Nice.
Now, I got to say this. You know, you've got friends in the media. Everybody loves Rock Riley. I got to say that.
We
you
don't.
No, we love Rock, of course.
No. We don't have friends in the media.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's right. So I can say this. So
well, Rock, yeah, we like Rock.
You're like the heel in wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. So we're the wrestling.
Passenger's all right. He's a good guy. Yeah, like there's a couple, but. Yeah.
We're exaggerating, but not terribly much. But I got to say this, Rock.
TV guys.
I'm glad that you mentioned, yes, the TV guys seem to love us and understand us. I don't know what that is. It's not because Lee and I are so beautiful for television.
Yeah, but the TV guys get us. They get us.
Yeah, they get. It's a very strange dynamic. All right. So, Rock, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You just sat there without being prompted, and you said, hey, I thought that was really cool when Arian said, turn that shit off, or whatever he said about the music at OTAs.
Yeah.
Now, for some reason, the other outlets who cover the Bucks, they all heard it and saw it, and they didn't write about it, which is mind-boggling because that was like one of the more interesting little nuggets, and fans loved it on social media.
They
loved just the thought of, oh, this guy's actually, forget about how you think of the Bucks. Arian's admitted to a way that he is changing practice and what everything will be like at one buck, and they chose not to write about it? Brain dead.
Well, I'm sorry. I was going to add to what Steve said real quick. I didn't mean to interrupt, Rock. I was in Vegas. I was in Vegas, but I was monitoring things.
Uh-huh.
I was monitoring a lot of things.
What was her name?
I can't remember. I had a few crowning waters.
You were like Kraft? Did you go to one of those places, Lee?
Oh, what?
No? Were you like Robert Kraft? Did you go to one of those places?
No, I didn't go to one. I didn't have to. Okay. So everything you need is at Aria at certain times of the morning. Not night, morning. What I was going to say is I was monitoring Twitter.
Right.
I can't remember the last time Steve had put something out there that got so many retweets. It was about the, I get that shit, I don't want that shit, or whatever
Arian. Right. The music, yeah.
Yeah, but the music, the direct quote that Arian said.
Yeah.
People went crazy on social media about that. I can't remember. I texted or emailed Steve. I said, you might want to put that story up because that's getting a lot of reaction on Twitter. And I think that's just an example of certain people in the media are out of touch. And there's a reason why certain aspects of the media are struggling.
Right.
I just don't think they're in touch with what fans read.
Here's the thing that I see, though. I like Dirk Cutter. Dirk Cutter allowed the players to be themselves, okay? And I know this is 2019, and I know that the majority of NFL teams allow them to have music, fine.
Sure.
But when it starts going bad and the losses keep on mounting, and I would go over there, and when you see the beginning of practice and the stretching, here comes the music, and they're kind of dancing. I don't care if this is 2019. That's bullshit. It really is. And Dirk didn't do anything about it. And if you don't do anything about it, then they're really not going to understand, like, wow, man, these losses, we shouldn't like this. And Arians isn't going to put up with that. And you can tell. And he said a lot of things. He's like, look, man, we're about winning the Super Bowl. Okay, that's crazy. No, if you don't have that mindset, you're not going to be here. There was actually a point where there was a little bit of dead air in between a question. And I don't know if you caught this, Steve. Arians is sitting there and he goes, chemistry. He goes, chemistry.
I hate that word.
I hate that word. He goes, what is that? Accountability. Chemistry. I'm telling you, man, I'm all behind Arians.
One player I know that is going to be hating life once practice begins because there's no music. Donovan Smith. We know what the vibe is in the locker room. The guy who cranks the music whenever reporters come in. And this is inside baseball. It sounds like we're being juvenile. You can't record these guys when he's cranking the music. You can't. You can't. You literally cannot do your job. And people, he's been told, I don't know how many times, by the Bucks, not by his teammates, by the Bucks. Knock it off. He refuses to do it. He always puts a video on Instagram, him singing while he's going down the road, cranking music. He's one of those guys that has to have music all the time. All of a sudden, uh-oh, you got to go to work. There's not going to be any music because Aaron's going to tell you where you can shove your stereo. That is going to be interesting. But the thing about the music is that made it a relevant story, which is why some of our, I don't even want to call them brethren, some of the people we have to occupy a room with.
Sisters?
I won't even go there. And by the way, there, you know, people like Jenna are way cool. I think the world of Jenna. So Jenna's not involved in our sniping.
She's a hard worker.
Jenna's the best. Arians has said in the past, he talked to Belenchit about music when he was working for CBS. Arians, really, Bill? Music? Really? Belenchit just kind of shrugged his shoulders. Well, you know, it's right. That time. But
at least the Patriots are winning. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
okay,
that's what makes
get
it
away with it. But right.
That's what makes it a relevant story.
Yeah.
Arguably the best coach to ever walk the sideline in any football, any level of football, is pumping in music. I'm trying to think of the right word, hesitant to stop it for whatever reason. And Arians even confronted them. Really, Bill? Music?
Right.
And
but that's okay. Yeah, let me tell you something. I don't think anybody is going to complain if they turn out to be the Patriots. Arians will play music. That's fine. But they're not there yet. They
Absolutely.
Took advantage of Dirk Cutter, and they're going to be in for a rude awakening.
Yeah, and I think the important nuance here, at least for the people I can already hear saying, oh, you guys, are, whatever. Here's the nuance.
And I personally don't care. Was it to me? I don't care.
Just like Arians, he doesn't care.
I'm not one of those people. A lot of fans out there, Rock, they've read and heard about the ping pong table in the Bucks locker room, and they don't like that, and ping pong, blah, blah. I don't give a crap what the guys do in the locker room.
In the basketball
That's,
hoop.
That's not where football is played
right.
or taught
right.
or where you get better in the locker
right.
room. So if they
want to
have
you.
Ping pong or Nerf football or basketball, I don't care.
Right.
Or music, whatever you want.
Right. But and, when the losses
the field
start
stuff is
mounting
yeah.
and they're doing bad.
But they're not because of ping pong.
No, it's not.
Yeah, yeah.
The New Orleans Saints have foosball. Drew Brees was terrible at foosball, and he hired a trainer in the offseason to train him in foosball. The guy is so competitive,
wow.
and he kicked everybody's ass when he went back to training camp.
Didn't hear
so,
that.
So, no,
Didn't
they have that. They have these things at other teams. But
the
again,
Eagles have ping pong.
Okay, but
yeah.
the Eagles won. They won a Super Bowl.
That's what I mean, yeah.
The Saints are winning. The Buccaneers have not, and I like it.
And by the
I
way,
like
the people that are playing ping pong, you know, for the fans, it just really drives
yeah.
them crazy.
Yeah.
Mike Evans is a big ping pong player. Beckwith is a big ping. The guys who were playing ping
with
pong,
the bad,
but they
the
actually earned their stripes on
I
the
know.
Field. Yeah. So.
All right. I want to say this. In case you fast forwarded or started in the middle or you're, whatever you were doing, this is the voice of Rock Riley joining us 6 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday, WWBA. That is 8:20 a.m. on the AM dial, but it's 50,000 watts. So that means it's never going to be fuzzy, crackly, unless you're in Georgia. Pretty much you're going to be in great shape or maybe in Key West. However, search them on Facebook, WWBA, you'll
yeah.
get the app.
Exactly.
And you can follow Rock on Twitter, Real Rock Riley. And, yeah, it's the same Rock Riley that you knew 20-something years ago on that Bay News 9 show where he used to hang up on weirdos and take live calls. So it's fantastic. Now, here we are. The Buccaneers, a lot of fans are still a little bit numb. Even though practice starts on Monday, and there's a lot of excitement, and rightfully so, about Arians, a lot of fans are a little bit numb.
I can understand that.
That they did nothing in free agency.
I can understand
so it's like, how do you expect this to really be a playoff year? And where do you sit in all that? Maybe you're not one of those guys. What's your thought process?
Well, I don't like to go back into the past because you can't change the past. But it's almost unbelievable to me that this team has been 5-11 2 years in a row and that they're in salary cap hell. That is a bad situation. But you know what? You can't do anything about it. So that's why you're going to see some names that are not going to be around here. Right now, Gerald McCoy is on the team. I can't believe Gerald McCoy will be on the team after listening to both of those guys, Jason Light and Bruce Arians, because of the $13 million, because of his age, I would be surprised. So, dude, they were hamstrung. They didn't have any money. You know what I mean? And these teams, when you saw these big splashes, you look at these contracts. They were overpaying. So that's where they are. It is what it is. You're going to see a ton of coaches out there. They're going to be teaching. And I think defensively, for me, in the draft and especially high up, it's got to be an edge rusher. It's got to be a defensive guy, especially. I know Lee will go crazy if they pick a linebacker. I understand that because I've been listening to this. But with Vita Vea.
Lee's world famous rant.
I know. Oh, I know.
The rant that shook Tampa Bay.
That was a good one. I was driving in my car and I loved it.
Chris Russo liked
it. I believe that was two or three podcasts ago.
It was good.
And, of course, you can find that right on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. It's about 9 minutes into the podcast, 7 minutes. Lee has a complete meltdown at the mere notion that the Buccaneers might choose a linebacker at number five. Now, Rock, but I want to say this.
Yeah.
The Gerald McCoy thing, let's just fast forward to the draft.
Yes.
If they don't draft a defensive tackle, would it still surprise you that Gerald McCoy's on the team? Who's going to play defensive tackle if they draft this end?
No. Because, like, even like Arian said, and again, I don't think Arians is a bullshitter. I really don't. Where he said he's not the player that he was 4 years ago. We got to see. But if we have him, you know, he is still productive. So, no, if they don't go that route, especially one of those unbelievable edge rushers or guys in the draft, then no. Okay, you're stuck with $13 million. You're going to have to get rid of somebody somewhere for 1 year. Okay.
If the Bucs keep Jameis, there'll be a purge of some players. I doubt JPP will be around if they re-sign Jameis.
What are you, Bassinger?
What's that?
Are you Tom Bassinger?
Why is that? No, I don't want to get rid of him.
Bassinger
wants to get rid of him.
I know.
And I understand where he's coming, but that's a very, very short memory.
No, he was the best player on the defense. I see no way Jason Pierre-Paul is going to be. He's going to be playing.
You mean that take wasn't grounded in reality? Is that what you're saying?
No, yeah. No. There's no way you're going to get rid of your best player. I don't see it.
It was very short-sighted. No, I'm talking about next year, not this year.
Okay,
I'm talking about
this year.
This year, I think the Bucs are publicly posturing with McCoy. We want you here. We love you. But we don't love you for $13 million.
No, right. And he's going to probably be asked to restructure. Now, I asked Martin Gramatica this. And I said, Martin, what do you think is going to happen? And he said, every player is different. Here's how he put himself in the mindset of Gerald McCoy. Gerald McCoy right now is figuring out, okay, when you get older like this, you want the chance for the ring. Yeah, you want the money. Money's a part of it. But you also want the chance for a ring. So he's probably trying to figure out, it's a whole new defense, this and that. Are we going to win the ring in 2 years? Or maybe I'll go somewhere. Maybe I won't restructure. That's probably what's in Gerald McCoy's mind. And every player is different. The ring is really, really important, especially as you get older. And I don't know Gerald McCoy's mindset if he thinks this team can get a ring in 2 years.
I'm pretty sure the Bucs have already approached McCoy and probably did it back in December, or at least approached his people. Because the way he talked after the final game, he talked like he was done.
He did. He did.
So I'm fairly, you know, I don't know this. No one's told me this. But right. I'm fairly confident in saying Bucs and his representatives have met months ago, or at least spoke.
Yeah, it's an interesting subject. And I do know somebody who's very close with Gerald McCoy.
Okay.
Very close.
Okay.
And through that relationship, I've learned a lot of things over the years. But I'll say this. McCoy is very entrenched locally. His wife owns a business in South Tampa. He's got a lot of kids. He's got kids in school. He does a lot of things behind the scenes. And he likes it here. And he's been here a lot of years. And as a family guy, he's not the most eager to get out of here. That doesn't mean he doesn't want a ring, Rock.
Right.
But he's not, I don't think, a quick trigger on, oh, well, I'll get out of here and get a ring. That's all I really want. I don't think he's wired that way. So that could be an element here. Maybe the Bucs are squeezing him a little because they believe, oh, Gerald wants to stay. Look how deep he is in the community. I just had another baby last year in September.
Right. No, and that does play into it. Again, Martin, you know, other players that I have talked to, that does play into it. Family. I don't even want to bring the Lightning into it, but Marty St. Louis going back. He didn't really want to leave the Lightning organization, but his wife never liked Tampa. And they also had built a home that was only 20 minutes from the New York Rangers facility. And when it came up, okay, I'll do what my wife wants to do. So that does play into it, Steve.
Now, here's where this gets very interesting. Okay. I was thinking about this more today. See, this is what Lee and I do. We sit around.
Nice.
We sit on the crapper.
Nice.
We just think around.
Well, I don't
want
to.
Not together.
I don't need to know that.
Not together on the crapper.
Thank God.
We think about Bucks. So here's the thing.
Right? Bucks are Rachel Watson for me. So
I know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Lee's got better priorities than I do. All right.
Well, he's a family man.
Family man. I can still think, though, right? Because a man
know
can
that.
Still dream, right?
Yeah, of course, buddy.
All right, as we sit here in a bar, that's what we do as well, drink beer and talk Bucks. All right, so here's the thing, Rock. Gerald McCoy, what do we know about him? Every year he goes through this intense off-season training regimen. He trains, flies to San Diego, and goes nuts training with Drew Brees, as well as the guy who used to being the Eagles and the Saints backfield, the little guy, Darren Sproles.
Darren Sproles.
Okay.
And he uses a top trainer out there.
Okay.
And he has this routine where he comes back, and we all know this, Cyril comes back every year in April. He never shows up late for OTAs. He's there, and he's chiseled, and he's healthy, and he's fresh as hell. And Arians is going to watch a guy in practice. He's going to see that lightning get off, because I don't think McCoy's lost any of that. He may have lost some other stuff, but he's still got it. And Arians is just going to watch this guy grind and grind and grind and coach guys up, and he's going to see what every other coach before him has seen. And the longer McCoy's there, the more difficult it becomes when this guy is a springtime warrior.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't mean Arians doesn't know better, but it becomes more and more challenging.
So you think he is going to be here then for the offseason? See, I think a decision will be made prior to Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you okay. Because he said, I heard him say, I got to see what he's got. And then I heard Stroud say, well, what are you judging? What do you have to see? You know what I mean? I don't know. None of us know. None of us know with Gerald McCoy, but I don't think at this point the fact that Arians doesn't have a lot of time, he's not wanting to get rid of productive players.
Well, they have to do something because right now their salary cap is screwed.
I know.
And generally they need, what, roughly $8 million assigned rookies?
Something like that.
They don't have that right now.
I know.
Something's got to happen within the next month or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can take it all the way to August because that...
Even with the rookies?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think it's a problem to go over the cap. You just have to be under it by September 1st. I've never heard otherwise.
Okay.
That's why every year in August we hear about, this guy might be a late salary cap casualty.
Right.
The August cuts that Kerwin always talks about.
Right, right.
So I don't know what they're going to do. You know, Rock could be right. This could be the final hours of Gerald McCoy. But to me, they got to try to trade him. Right? How better do you build up his value than to have everybody flapping about how great he looks in the spring? Remember that nonsense when Jason Light was trying to tell everybody that Doug Martin looked better than ever and it was April?
Was that when he was in the sandbox?
Oh, my God. A lot of that I blocked.
I blocked a lot of that out.
Oh, my God.
What the hell?
Yeah. The other thing, I know how Lee feels. How do you feel about them bringing in Blaine Gabbert? And let's face it, Ryan Griffin is not going to be the number two because Blaine Gabbert, when you listen to Arians, he knows the offense. He even said he's had a couple of wins here. In fact, that the guy is not going to have to, start from scratch. He's going to be your backup. How do you feel about it? I know Lee doesn't like it, but I don't know what else was out there.
Well, when I look at a guy like that, I try to simply just forget about his whole past of years and years ago as a failed starter. He's not a starter. He is a backup, and he's proven that he can be a good backup. So everybody who's like, they signed this, or your friend Tom Bassinger wrote that big story, they signed the worst available backup. I don't necessarily buy that. A backup's job is to come in and not lose a big beat and win a game or two, and he's done that on two different teams.
Right.
I don't know if he did it in San Francisco, but let's just call it two different teams. So I see no harm in it. I think it's a nice choice, but it should be non-threatening to Jameis, because if Jameis has issues with Blaine Gabbert, who's never had a winning season, at least Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I pointed this out last year and everybody thought I was an idiot, which is why I predicted the Bucs would beat the Saints opening day. Going into that game, Fitzpatrick was 20-20 or 21-20 in his last starts. So he had been for like 4 years a good quarterback. Not a crappy quarterback, but a good quarterback because he had had good years. But Gabbert's a totally different situation. He doesn't have those highs of Fitzpatrick. And I like it. He's just a backup.
There was nobody else out there. Bridgewater decided to stay.
Glennon.
No, I know.
He's
you guys
Chucky.
Are Glennon
Chucky
and Glennon Mob. That's a long
Chucky.
Time ago.
Chucky loves him.
Nah, I know. Oh, God. He loves everybody. But anyway, coming out of the NFL owners' meetings, it's very apparent to me that Bruce Arians is running the show. And it seems that way to me. Does it seem that way to you?
That was my number one takeaway from the whole thing.
And I thought that watching it.
Jason Light, in my opinion, I think he knows it, that he's just, when I say this, doesn't mean he's not doing his job.
No.
And
I didn't
doing
say that.
Everything else that he used to do, except I think he's got zero power. Zero. But he's still doing the same job, still approaching it the same way, still has the same responsibilities. But is he calling any shots here? No. I'm going to say a flat line no.
Now, the other thing, go ahead, Lee.
So you're saying it's similar to what the Lovie Smith situation was? Lovie had final say on everything.
Yes, except I think Jason was so new when Lovie was here that Lovie might have even been saying, well, we want to scout this way and do this. I think Jason is scouting his way and running his team his way, but he's got no power. Under Lovie, I think Lovie was sort of everywhere,
yeah.
But I think Jason's just powerless. All right, Lee, now you wrote something today about Jason Pierre-Paul. One of the things that Arian said was, hey, JPP can play over a guard. He hasn't done it much, but he can play over a guard, and we want to see that. I thought that was fascinating because last year, Brenton Buckner played him inside all the training camp, yet all season he never really played inside.
Right.
So Brenton Buckner, who coached for Arians and same attacking mindset, saw the same kind of thing, but Mike Smith, Dirk Cutter decided not to do it.
Apparently so, yeah. Well, the last sentence Arians had about JPP was the most interesting. I thought, I think he's going to like it. Because, I'm assuming, I wasn't there. There was no follow-up. I'm assuming Arians was saying this because JPP thinks can expose a guard because guards are not fast. They're not nimble like tackles are. Right. JPP's quick.
Right.
So I think that's why Arians is going to do that. He wants to expose the guard with JPP's quickness. And as Steve said, JPP practiced inside all the time until the regular season came around.
Right.
And I think with the Giants, he played some inside. Not a lot, but some. Just to mix things up a little bit.
Right.
Now the irony, here's the irony in this.
Uh-huh.
Two levels of irony. One, the other coaching staff had him outside, and he was damn successful. So they probably did the right thing.
Yes, they did.
Number two is Jason Light. During the season, he only talks for 5 minutes on the Buccaneers radio network. And one thing he said on the network might have been six games in was that I really look forward to JPP playing more inside like he did this summer.
Interesting.
I hope to see more of that, but it never came.
Never came.
Never came.
Okay, well, we're going to see that.
It seems like, at least with defense, Arians is all about mismatches. Well, I should say the whole team. Because when we talked about the wide receivers and the tight ends, he says there's mismatches all over the field.
Yes.
And I think he's all about mismatches. He said Levante David's speed, rushing the passer.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say mismatch, but it was pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
With JPP, I think it was the same thing. He thinks that he can get a mismatch, putting him on a guard. I think with Arians, it's all about mismatches.
I definitely think that defensively, okay, and I think he's going to let Bowles run the show. That's what it seems like to me on defense. The biggest thing when he was asked about the offense, he said two things. We got to protect Jameis, and we got to run the football. We got to get a running game. I think that's going to be one of his number one priorities. Although he did say glaring weakness with special teams.
Yes.
We got Pinion. He's going to kick off. And I was talking to – here we go. I'm giving Martin Germanica a little bit of a plug. I said, Martin, what's the deal with that? He goes, oh, that's going to be huge.
Really?
Cairo is so good when he doesn't have to stretch it out.
Really?
Because And he goes, and that was a weakness. So you got Pinion. He's going to be able to kick off. And it also saves the kicker's leg. He goes, when you're trying long field goals or kickoffs, you're using more of your muscle. So this way, Cairo should have no problem during the season. Wait till you see the difference. He thinks that's going to be a big thing. But I really don't want to spend too much time on the kicker.
Well, that's a popular subject, though.
Yeah, but the fact that he wants to run the ball and he got to protect Jameis. That was the two big things on offense.
Well, I'll ask this about the kicker, right? Now, Gramatica makes sense. He's obviously been a successful kicker.
Yep.
And I understood what Arians was saying. Then why the hell didn't they fix this last year?
No, I know.
Right? Then why didn't they find a punter who could also kick off?
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple things here. One, I hate to knock a guy when he's out the door. And he's a good dude. Nate Kaxor?
Yes.
Special teams coach? Is it fair to say he did a piss poor job?
That's very fair. They sucked.
And I like the guy a lot. I mean, one of the nicest guys you ever meet. If he sees you, you don't see him, he sees you. Hey, man, how's it going, Lee? What's up? He comes up, you know, starts slapping on it. Great guy. So I feel awful saying that, but I got to be honest. And Arians even said it. Special teams was lousy.
Yeah, he said it was glaring after he watched everything.
I had to laugh, though, when Arians said that was our biggest offseason signing was the punter.
I know, that's hilarious.
Hello, 2011. I mean,
Mark Dominic.
That was just, I was, oh, my gosh. I almost vomited at the table. But we didn't bring this up on the last Ira podcast, and we'll talk. We'll close out on this subject, Rock.
Yeah.
And I got to say, it's been an honor to have you here.
No, I'm honored you guys even asked me. I listen all the time. I get along. You know, we all get along great. I have so much respect for Ira. And I know he's been doing, say, going through some family, you know, health issues. Not Ira himself. So I wish him the best. No, I'm honored to be here. But anyway, go ahead.
All right, Rock Show. Don't forget, 6 a.m., 9 a.m. It's your morning drive, Rock Riley, 8:20 a.m., WWBA. You can Google them and get all the apps and all that
stuff. Thanks, buddy.
All right, now
and
look.
You're going to have a lot of Rays talk, too, aren't you? I saw your Twitter.
Yeah, man. I'm going to hit the local thing, and it's a conversation. My boss goes, don't do too many. If you're going to do interviews, they better not be boring. He tells it like it
is. Yeah.
And don't just bring on guys just for the sake of bringing on guys. So I was like, all right, who am I going to bring on? Lee is very entertaining.
They'll come in studio one day and just start screaming.
That would be awesome. I love that.
All right. Now, Jameis Winston is ballooning up, presumably properly, to 250 pounds. He played at 230, he was 231 at the combine. He came into the league. And then his starting year two, he got a little leaner, lost a little weight or repositioned a little bit.
Yeah.
Now he's going up to 250, and there aren't a lot of quarterbacks who play at 250. And Jason Light and Bruce Arians are talking about armor. He needs more armor. He's going to take more hits in Bruce Arians' offense. Lee, Brock, can anybody explain to me what this really means?
Well, did you see the video that was posted of him in the sand over at that park in Tampa? He's balancing on one foot, and that coach or assistant is trying to knock not only the ball out of his hand, but is hitting him everywhere. He's wearing it almost looks like tights, yoga pants. He looks so damn lean to me. So the 250, he's got a big body. You guys have been really up close to him. He's big. He can carry it. Look at Roethlisberger, man. And Roethlisberger is over 250, 258, possibly pushing 260. So to me, the weight on the scale, if he looks as lean as he is and as in shape as he is, I know the guys that run the facility, he is there, man, early in the morning. His workouts are legendary. I'm talking about in this offseason. So to me, 250, 248, he looks good. And let me tell you something. If Bruce Arians sees that he's slow, he'll have to cut the weight. You know what I mean? So, no, I don't think it's a problem. I really don't.
What's going to be interesting to see is last year he turned into a pretty darn good scrambler, and he credited Ryan Fitzpatrick with teaching him how. Is that going to be muted, for lack of a better term? Diluted is a better word. Is that going to be diluted with him putting on poundage?
Well, I think it's going to come down to, you know, you notice that Arians always is talking Clyde Christensen. He has a lot of respect in Clyde Christensen. He's going to teach him fundamentals and technique. He's also talking about the offensive coordinator. I'm hoping, you know, is there too many guys in his ear? I don't think so. I don't think so. So, listen, he's a quarterback whisperer, all right? I'm sure that's one of the reasons why the Glazers brought him here. Jameis Winston is a really, really hard worker. He should be now coming into his prime, and he's healthy. It's all there for him. You know what I mean? I'm not going to make any more excuse now if Jameis Winston sucks this year. That's it. That's it for me.
Hey, fifth year, we've talked about before. I was thinking about this the other night, but I wasn't at home on the toilet. I was actually shooting baskets. We've written and talked about before that David Carr is really the only quarterback of the modern era who was a starter from day one and then got a fifth year without making the playoffs in between. And really there is nobody else who has started all the way through got a fifth year. So I don't even know if there's anyone who got a sixth year and didn't make the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying Jameis has to make the playoffs, but it just illustrates that, yeah, at some point every team decides guys got to win, otherwise we're just sort of treading water.
Right.
I don't want anyone to think that I think the weight is bad. I'm just throwing it out there,
okay.
Well, what does this mean?
Yeah,
I just was more see what Lee thinks, but I was just more he's going to take a lot of hits in the offense. That's a scary. Most coaches say he ain't going to take any hits, and he better not take hits. And
right.
I don't know. It, that was a little bit odd.
Well, I just find it interesting that. when the Bucks were talking about James is going to take more hits, and all the people who holler and scream, bellyache, try to stop traffic, just go bananas every Sunday, that the Bucks have this,
horrible offensive line, as if they brought back O'Neal Cousins and Garrett Whoops Gilkey and Anthony Collins and all these guys. Oh, my God, the Bucs offense. And yet they bring everybody back but the right guard.
I know, I
they
saw that.
Re-up both tackles, and then the Bucs say, you know, Jameis is going to get beat up.
No, that is a good point. I don't think that they think Jameis is going to get beat up. I think Jameis, for whatever reason, just feels a little bit stronger. But when I saw the video, he doesn't look like he has any fat, man.
I'm sure it looks great, Ross.
Oh, my God.
And hopefully we'll see him on Monday. Will we see you out at One Buck on Monday?
Oh, I'm going to be all over it again, man. That's my favorite thing to cover. It's the Bucs. It's the NFL.
And this year,
for me,
you're going to have more time because your show's over at 9.
Exactly.
You can go home, have some lunch.
I'll be there all the time.
At noon or whatever. So that's great.
Love it.
One thing I will go out on this note, after spending all that time with Bruce Arians, the breakfast, the pre-breakfast, I talked to him in a bar there as well in Arizona. Not once did the guy mention pass blocking from his running backs, and if it were Dirk Koetter, he would have mentioned it like 9 times.
Yeah.
And that even goes further to Lee's point that they brought everybody back, and they're not even talking about running backs who can block. I don't know, but I'm sure Jameis will get some great coaching, and then we hope for the best. Rock, send us out of this podcast.
This is the best Bucs podcast. I never miss it. I only missed Sage's last one. I get all my information. I love when they bust chops. That's my favorite. And I'm on Joe Bucs fan. It's got to be at least 6, 7, 8 times a day. So an honor to sit in here. It's joebucsfan.com. And I know you know it because you're listening to it. See ya!